With a training in music composition, Samsung Young is a multidisciplinary artist, composer and musician from Hong Kong. His investigation ranges from the Western musical notation and the possible ways to reframe it, to the ambiguous relations between sound and warfare, music and politics. We met Young in Venice, where he is representing Hong Kong at the 57th Art Biennale.
So the show is titled Songs for Disaster Relief, and I'm looking at charity singles from the 80s and the 90s, and I'm looking at charity single not just as a genre, but as a historic moment in time. So looking at what kind of cultural, social, historical circumstances made charity single as a form of, let's say, the cross between music and politics possible, and what started that whole enterprise. So in the space here, we have four pieces. Three of them are looking specifically at iconic charity singles. So there is Do They Know It's Christmas in the front room. There is We Are the World in the second room. And then there's also a super messed up version of Bridge Over Troubled Water near the canal, which for everyone else in the world is just Bridge Over Troubled Water, but for people of Hong Kong, it was covered for the 1991 Eastern China flood to raise money. So it's a charity single for people of Hong Kong. And then there's an outdoor courtyard piece which features a modular stage system which looks a little bit like chorus risers. So the piece with the neon sign together is called Risers.
It was a transatlantic solidarity race. Simon Le Bon, Bono Vox and Bob Geldof on the one hand, Michael Jackson, Cyndi Lauper and Diana Ross on the other. Between 1984 and 1985, the British hit Do They Know It's Christmas and the worldwide commercial success We Are the World topped the charts. Millions of copies were sold and millions of dollars were raised. It was a specific moment in history, the 80s.
I think that's really when it became popular. I mean, there are a number of historical circumstances that made that possible. We had, at that time, just sort of ended the Cold War. The fear of nuclear war is still in people's consciousness. There have been a couple of large natural disasters and events that caught the world's attention. The music industry had become just very global. And so it made charity single as a way to raise funds possible and effective. And so if you think about We Are the World, for example, when We Are the World came out, it topped the chart all over the world for weeks and weeks, and of course brought in a huge amount of money and was very successful. So I think the first charity single that was charity single in the way that we know it now, that was produced was for Bangladesh, and it was in 1979, I believe. But I think 80s is really, especially with the two songs that I've mentioned, We Are the World and Do They Know It's Christmas, this way of raising money became popularized all over the world. And people started doing it all over the place, in Asia as well. And of course in Europe they have their own version also. So I think it's very iconic of its time. But also what we are beginning to see is the Western world becoming more conscious of a kind of responsibility, let's say. I think that's very much on the forefront of people's consciousness. So I think it's both. It's both politics and the way capitalism works in the music industry, and also, you know, media, the effects of media combined together that made charity singles possible.
History had already registered examples of music at the service of political and social causes.
Of course, we've always had topical songs that are responding to sort of either disasters or political situation. I mean, there's a very long history of union songs, for example. But if you think about labor union songs, and the difference between that and charity single is that in charity single, if you look at the lyrics, it's often not topical. It's not about a particular struggle or a particular cause. It's about a projection of a forward and upward momentum and aspiration. We are together, we are one world, we are one humanity, we must lend a helping hand, we must step forward, held our head high, but these are aspirations that are projected forward with no specific target in the lyrics. And I think that's a very new thing. Whereas before, there's, like I said, in the case of union song, it's always very particular class, very particular struggle. Whereas these are more about, there's a utopian vision, let's say, in the way that manifests in that had manifested in a way that we had not seen before.
30 years later, in 2014, the incarnation of the British charity supergroup Band Aid remade Do They Know It's Christmas to help combat Ebola in West Africa.
I think when I saw that remake, especially at MTV, I felt like, oh, this is a little strange, and it felt a little bit out of time. But I was not able to tell why I felt like it was out of time. Usually when I make a work, I like to research on topic, or I deal with topic that I don't have an understanding of. So I felt like this is problematic and maybe out of time, but maybe it's my problem. Maybe it's not that, have I become cynical? I was trying to really process and think about why I felt like this is weird. So that's really the point of departure that started the whole research.
It's not only about being cynical. The real question is, what kind of help is the one these initiatives are claiming for? Whom they are talking to? Are not they patronizing voices?
I think this whole debate about sort of positionality and also power structures, that is of course part of what I'm interested in, but it's only a part of what I'm interested in. Actually, this show starts with the premise that we already have, in the last two decades, deconstructed these positions, and we need to be very aware of these positions. And I think we have already arrived at that point. What I'm trying to say that, okay, that's the point that we have started at, and we need to accept those things. We might have gotten very little. We might have just gotten political correctness. But we cannot regress from that moment. If we regress, I mean, we are actually regressing now. We can't give that up. It's very tiring, but we can. I think Zizek is wrong. We cannot give that up. That is not the thing that we should give up. We should take that as the norm, and then we move on and try to do better. If you think about the musical treatment of We Are The One, Do They Know It's Christmas, I hope that people will be able to hear that at no point am I laughing at these songs. Michael's version of Do They Know It's Christmas is very melancholy. It's nostalgic. It's sad, but it's not really irony or poking a finger and poking fun at people. And We Are The World, certainly in the way I treat the chorus of the Federation of Trade Union, there's a level of tenderness. I try to shoot them in a way that is dignified. So the moment of sort of realization and acknowledgement of these problems is rather the point of departure than where we stop. But what has happened is that people are getting a little tired of sort of post-colonial critique, and also these ideas of political correctness, which we have fought for two and three decades to achieve. So that language has lost its potency. So then what is the new language to talk about it? What is the new way to continue to talk about these things? Or maybe we just need to acknowledge that when we have sort of gender-neutral bathroom, and when we have these new terminologies to describe gender, it's okay and it's good that people are a little unsettled. We should not say, oh, it's so tiring to have to. You know, the running joke these days on the internet is how, you know, after LGBTQ, and then there's like 21 more identity, right? I don't think we should poke fun at that. I mean, maybe it's good that we have 21 more, and it's confusing, and it's good. Maybe it's the problem's ours. So, you know, I don't have an answer. And even after having made the show, I don't even have an answer. But like I said, for me, making a show is a way to process things that are super complicated and things that I don't understand and things that I cannot distill into a singular insight. God's great big family.
the truth. You know love is all we need.
So I have used this technique before. This technique is called the muted technique. I have a series of work called Muted Situations, where I work with musicians and performer. And if you can imagine that you have a remote control and you could choose to only mute one layer of sound so the other layers can be heard, that's what the technique is. And I usually in these muted situations, I mute the top layer of the sound. So in the case of a sung chorus, the top layer would be the sung pitch. But when you take away that layer, you hear other sounds that are usually present but are covered up by the pitch, right? So the breathing, the articulation, enunciation of the voice and the words, the flipping of the pages, all of those things become audible. And so I have used this technique before, and when I wanted to do Riado well, I thought, okay, the combination of the song, what it represents, the aspiration and also the lyrics, plus this technique, plus the Hong Kong Federation of Trade Union chorus, which is a very specific chorus, of course, the three of them together, the weight that they each carry will set a world of intertextuality in motion, which I want to keep suspended. Like, you know, it's very nicely shot, but it's also kind of nondescript, let's say. It's sort of this documentation of a performance. I deliberately wanted it to have this ambiguous quality. But I was very clear on using this technique with this chorus, with this song.
Going back to his previous works, dealing very often with sounds and weapons, sounds and warfare, deploying kind of recognizable sound icons like bells and explosions, we wonder if his interest is in condensed sounds that gather and keep shared emotions and informations.
In one way, perhaps, like if you think about the project about bombs and bows, what draws those projects together in terms of their commonality is that they are both things that embody polarities. So bells are, of course, symbols of peace, but it also have been melted down to make weapons. In the same way that explosion sound, the way I treated them, of course, they are troubling and they are sort of images and sounds of horror. But they are, to me, they also have a very, let's say, troubling, seductive quality about them. So the marriage between this very troubling and a little bit sort of a negative, not a little bit, very negative aspect with like my attraction to these things, which I try to reconcile. If you think like the way I see charity singles is that if you look at the iconic charity singles in the 80s, they are also, in especially Do They Know It's Christmas, in terms of the ideology, the lyrics, the position, is hugely problematic. But however, if you think about these songs and when think about how they are sort of how they stir emotion, those emotions that they elicit, they are real and genuine.
So how to reconcile those two things? The fact that music is able to manipulate people in such a way that it gives you these emotions that are very real, but intellectually you realize they are problematic. This is one of the aspects Samson Young is interested in. We ended up talking about radio, a medium and a language he's been using in the most recent years.
I'm fascinated by radio, well, because I like the quality of the sound of the radio, first of all, and specifically FM radio. I like the degradation. And also I like the fact that there's many overlap between, so my interest is in politics and sound and music, and there's many interesting historical parallels between the development of radio technology and, of course, warfare, right? So I'm interested in that, and I'm also interested in radio as a metaphor of how you inhabit as well as conquer, occupy territories. So it's very real. I mean, like it has been used to that effect, and today it's still being used. North South Korea, and also recently, people in the more sort of northern territories of Hong Kong are able to receive very clearly sort of broadcasts coming from mainland, from the Guangzhou radio stations, which is something that is entirely new, and in fact, strictly speaking, not legal, but it's like, you know, but it's coming over the airwave, and, you know, it's classic strategy, isn't it, to occupy by broadcasting sound, and everybody does it. I mean, during wartime and also now, you know, we have different radio stations that goes to different territories and spread messages that align with particular ways of seeing the world. So it's a very real thing. And it might be one of the more real things. I mean, there are things I imagine sometimes in my work, but radio is a very real territory of conquest. Yeah.
RadioCapesse.org.
Say a prayer.